This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Lenovo Gaming and Intel. You can find out more about Lenovo Gaming on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Lenovo Gaming or visit lenovogaming.com.
Podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode number 49 of The Payload. We are an Overwatch podcast from blizzpro.com. Today is December 15th, 2016, from Denver, Colorado. I'm John Horstman. With me is the crew, but first, come on. This just is, isn't that so nice? Just everyone relax.
I like it.
It's very relaxing.
Just relax. Let's go to Camarillo, California. Talk to our good friend, Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, this music makes me feel like I'm at Disneyland or something, like on a ride.
You might be.
You're getting a massage right now.
Rides. Yeah, I mean, there we go. But yeah, excited for another week of Payload and Overwatch. The winter event's been really fun. I've really enjoyed it, actually. So excited
it has
to talk
been.
About it.
I've the years of pounding and pelting my brother with snowballs has really come in handy for this latest patch because I am a May snowball fiend. Kind of amazing at it, not going to lie. Let's go to Saskatoon, Canada, where there's always snow to snowball fight with. Kevin Obdestead, hey, Kev.
There's not always snow. We actually have no snow right now. It's kind of kind of unusual.
Nope.
It's definitely, I mean, it's well below freezing. It was as cold here as in like Antarctica recently, but no snow.
Yeah, it's
just none.
It's weird. We don't have any snow in Denver either. Katie went on vacation and they were in a place where they were going to go snowboarding, but they haven't gotten any snow. So yeah.
Yeah, it's unusual. It's unusual, but
it's a weird
we do
one.
Have snow in Overwatch and that's a good close second.
Right. No Rosh this week, potentially. If she gets her internet fixed, she is going to pop in mid-show, and then we'll just all scramble and panic. But she's having some internet problems tonight, so hopefully she gets it fixed and she'll join us. But the show must go on because we've got a Star Wars movie to get to. And so, we gotta do a show. We want to do a full-length show. The option was start earlier or go on Friday, and when it came to that, yeah, it was pretty unanimous. Jimmy cut out of work early, Kevin just quit, and, you know, they just all kind of went, you know, it's Star Wars time. It's that Star Wars time of the year. Before we do jump into the news in our weeks, though, you might have heard a little bit of a new thing at the beginning of the show. Hope you guys didn't mind it. Nice, short, and sweet. But we are actually partnering with Lenovo Gaming and Intel for the foreseeable future to bring you these podcasts. So they partnered with BlizzPro and have been awesome to work with. So like we said at the end of the show, please go ahead and hop on over to Lenovo Gaming on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, lenovogaming.com. You can find that there. And the people at Intel have been great as well. So definitely make sure to check them out. Whew. Is that good? Is that okay?
It's awesome.
Okay.
I'm super excited.
I'm not used to doing that. So.
But that's right. The first time.
Yep.
Yeah.
First time. And don't worry. From now on, we're not going to talk about that every week at the front of the show. We've got that nice sounder for you. We'll talk to you about the end of the show. We'll give it a nice, clean Overwatch podcast feel to it, I promise. I won't let you down, chat. I won't let you down. Let's talk about our weeks in Overwatch. Jimmy, let's go to you first, man. What's it been like for you in Overwatch this week?
I'm continuing to play pretty casually. I only played Brawls last night between the 6v6 Mystery Heroes one that's just a real roll the dice, and the May Brawl as well. I haven't played any quick match or any competitive yet. I'm waiting on a friend of mine to come back to playing Overwatch that we did our placements last season to do them once again for season 3. So that's been my week in Overwatch. It's been nice. Fun, less stressful than nice. Competitive.
Did you just have the whole going in the background just yeah. on repeat, 40 seconds on repeat, just go. Okay, sorry, we're not going to do that anymore. Kev, what about your week in Overwatch?
I mean, I wish I could say a lot of great stuff about, you know, the new season and the new brawls, but I haven't had a chance to do hardly any. I mean, I've opened the game up to kind of skim through the cool rewards from the Winter Veil event. And I know we're going to talk about Wonderland, those later in the show.
Winter Veil is Warcraft and Hearthstone.
Same thing. Christmas with different terminology. But yes, the stuff in game looks amazing. The new skins, the new sprays. Crazy. Like, I had to see them. I had to know as soon as that patch was downloaded. But I haven't had a chance to put a lot of time in and actually play with them yet, because this week has been busy with a lot of stuff going on. So I'm excited to chat about kind of what we saw out of the esports world and talk through the Winter Wonderland event and all the other stuff that's going on. But hopefully that will scratch my Overwatch itch for today. And then over the weekend, I'm going to try to spend some time playing with my little sister while she's here visiting for Christmas. So.
Hey. Nice. Well, as for me, I did get quite a bit of Overwatch in. I'm back up to 2800 on Xbox, so I'm getting really close to that diamond rank. So nice. We'll just keep climbing up there. I was playing with some friends. That was a lot of fun. Going through and finishing my placements on PC. I haven't finished yet because I'm just so bad on PC, man. I'm just so bad. So when it comes to like my PC
just connect
Overwatch
your controller.
Yeah, I'll let you know how that goes. I'll let you know.
It's a good way to have a bad time. I have a friend who does that. My boy Casey does that, and he's terrible.
I get it. Like if it's fun for you, Casey, and that's so the way sorry. You do it, that's awesome. If you're high ranked, email me, because that's a very difficult thing to do with a controller. I don't want to say impossible, because nothing is impossible.
I mean, isn't it more common?
Sorry. There's a lag. I wanted to be like, nothing is impossible.
Cue music.
There it is. Yep, yeah. Got it.
Just total sidebar, but isn't it actually more common now to see people going the other way, where they're trying to use third-party equipment to actually hook mouse and keyboard up mm-hmm. on console? Like, isn't that the more common thing?
I wouldn't say it's more like common
than controller players on PC. It's gotta be.
I mean, you've got games though like Rocket League, which is huge, and like that's so controller heavy. There's a lot of games that are played controller heavy. Just first person shooters, absolutely. Other way around.
I meant specific to like shooters and Overwatch, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, if that is what you actually meant, then yes, that would be correct. Yeah, but as far as who's switching more from what to what, definitely more controllers on PC. Let's do the thing. We talked about our weeks, and we did the thing. Let's go into the news.
This week in Overwatch.
We talked about the week and did the thing, and now we want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you so much for your support of the payload. If you want to support the show, help us put on a better show week after week so I can spend time, you know, editing the video and audio of the show and help support us doing that, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. All right. Naturally, this music needs to come in here. Happy Feast of Wintervale, champions, and welcome to Overwatch's Winter Wonderland event. It is now live on all platforms. And just like any event, there is lots of great goodies for us to explore. First, I know everyone's asking, how much is it going to cost me? Same as the Overwatch Halloween event. So those epic and legendary skins and items are 3 times as expensive as they normally would. So 3,000 credits for a legendary, 750 credits for an epic. So that stays the same. But let's talk about some of the new features. Let's talk. Where do we want to go first?
Well, let's just real quick at a high level, what got changed? So in Winter Wonderland as a whole, what you're going to see are two maps that were redecorated with a Christmas theme. King's Row and Hanamura have both been redone with some festive vibes. And the Winter Wonderland loot boxes added a ton of new stuff for the season. So there are 46 hero exclusive sprays and 5 new general sprays, 23 new voice lines, 7 victory poses, 26 player icons, 12 skins, 2 new highlight intros, both of which are amazing, and 3 new emotes. So that's the sum of the in-game stuff. There's also
and a partridge in a pear tree.
Oh. Really? Yeah. Really? There's also the new brawl, Maze Snowball Offensive. So that's the sum of the new content.
Okay.
What do you guys want to start with? You want to start with the loot box stuff? Because some of the stuff in those loot boxes, man, yep. Is
loot
unbelievable.
Box. Let's do.
Yummy.
All right. So new loot boxes. Again, like John said, we're using the same system as we saw them introduce for Halloween, which was a mammoth improvement over the summer games. So you can pay to craft things using your standard in-game currency that you don't get during the course of the event. It is time limited, so you have to get these loot boxes or purchase these cosmetics before January 2nd, 2017. That's when the event will come to a close. Of the new stuff, I gotta say, there are a handful of these that really blew me away, like very positive. Some of the new skins, I think skins is maybe a great place to start. Do you guys have a favorite out of the new ones?
I think Winston for me. I mean, that is just a complete rework on his look. He's a Yeti. I mean, how much better does that get? A completely different looking hero.
Yep.
Yeah, Winston's is really good. Yeah, John, what did you like?
I like Santa Torbjorn, actually. I think has to be my favorite. The couple of Christmas trees out of the back. He's got a pack like full of presents, and I'm all about it. I think a lot of people were expecting/wanting Winston to have like a Santa outfit. And I think what they did this way is so much better. So I thought
Torbjorn as Santa was pretty well telegraphed by the like postcard thing we saw a while back. But I don't know. I will give you guys both of those skins being super nice, but I got to tell you, like, Zenyatta. The best one, in my opinion, for sure, is Nutcracker Zenyatta.
Yep.
Yeah. So oh, good. Yeah. That is good.
Like, I saw the animated GIF on the Overwatch news site, and I was watching it scroll through, and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, like, Lucio's pretty cool. McCree looks kind of like he's supposed to be kind of like, you know, Scrooge.
Yeah.
That's cool, whatever. Flip, 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 and then, oh, my God, wait, stop, go back. Was that Nutcracker Zenyatta with a bunch of nuts floating around his neck?
Yep.
That's amazing. That's like, I have never, up to this point, never spent a dollar on in-game cosmetics or currency or anything for this game.
Oh, here we go.
Like, I'm going to drop $20 on loot boxes because I got to get this skin.
So here's my favorite thing about that skin, though, is if you get 3,000 competitive points, the nuts are golden. They're golden nuts.
No way. What?
Yep.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's getting in the Christmas spirit right there. Just throwing golden nuts at people. I'm all about that. That is too funny.
I can't definitely even right now.
One of my favorite.
Yeah. I just have to say the art team did such a stellar job this time around. They put out a wallpaper that's the splash screen. When you go into Overwatch, it has Lucio, Torbjorn, May, and Tracer. And I have it as my background at work and home now because I love this artwork so much.
You have the you know the other one that's in the background, right?
No.
Scrooge. You got McCree Scrooge peeking around the corner.
I don't see it in the wallpaper, but maybe it's in the splash screen.
Oh my God, I'm going to have to find it.
Because I missed that. I'm going to have to look for it. That I did not know that, though. Thank you for pointing that out.
I have to do it now because this is...
All right. Well, while you're doing that...
Found it. Okay.
Posting there we go. It. Cool.
Posting it in chat. Boom.
Yeah, but I wanted to say also on the spray side of things, there's been this crazy theory that people have kind of been trying to connect the dots with, in that Farrah and Reinhardt have
ridiculous.
This is
Anna, right?
No, it's
Farrah. It's Farrah and Reinhardt.
No,
they have they're both
ice fishing or whatever. Yeah,
ice fishing, and everyone's like, "That's it, Reinhardt as far as dad." So
okay,
yeah. I don't know if it's, I doubt it. I don't think Blizzard would telegraph it that bluntly, but who knows?
Yeah. I think if they wanted to, they would have made Anna ice fishing, right? Because then Reinhardt and Anna would be ice fishing on that, right? No. All right. Cool.
Maybe.
Maybe, I guess. All right. So the other legendary skins that we have here. So we have Lucio, who has kind of this blue elfy looking outfit. I would say his best holiday outfit and maybe his second best skin. I still love the frog Lucio. I think
Hockey Lucio. I'm biased.
Oh, okay, I'm biased. Canada. I'm from Minnesota too, and that's the one I'm running. But the first skin that I got for Lucio when I bought skins was Golden Frog Lucio. So second. Then we've got Tracer. We've got Green Elf Tracer. A nice skin. I would say there's nothing that like really stands out about this skin to me. It's a great skin. I like it, but I don't think that it's necessarily as like creative as the Torbjorn or the Zenyatta skins there. So
I mean, in fairness, I think they have to do a little bit of rotating around. Like they can't knock it out of the park on every character every time. And thematically, there's nothing really obvious. Like Tracer has that kind of like she could be an elf character like vibe to her. There's no really obvious like Christmas characters that Tracer feels like she fits. Whereas like I guarantee you, if Overwatch turns around and does like a super cool, I don't know, like Valentine's Day themed event, right? Well, you're gonna for sure see Tracer get something really cool out of that one, right? Like it's gonna probably flip around a little bit, like. It's the same way as how go back to the Summer Games, which characters got super cool Summer Games skins. Well, it was the ones where there was a super obvious affiliation. Like we all geeked out about, you know, Junkrat's shot put intro or Zarya's Olympic skin as a weightlifter, which just made so much sense. Like it's got to come and go a little bit.
Right. Totally agree. So there's that one. All right. Controversy time.
We're
going to talk about something here, and we talked a little bit about this before the show, and we all are pretty much on the same side of the fence here. So if you're on the other side of the fence, you're going to hate this next part. So May got a new legendary skin, and it's basically like a Mrs. Claus type looking red suit looking legendary skin. I think it's really nice. I actually really like it. I thought they did great stuff with her blaster and the little pack. And what her ice block does is turns her into a snowman, which I also thought was really neat. However, some people think that this should not have been a legendary skin, that it was lazy. And people are upset. People are really upset about this being a legendary skin. All right, weigh in, you two. What are you thinking about this one here?
Oh man, How can I be nice about this? Just the entitlement around this whole skin is just, it's a little much. I mean, what were you expecting? What were you expecting from a Christmas themed skin for May? Like, this seems like the obvious fit, and why Jeff Kaplan spent any amount of time responding to this is beyond me, but that's how Jeff Kaplan goes. But
yeah,
oh my it's just, it's silly how upset people are.
To be fair, the last line in Jeff Kaplan's response is, "Apologies that our quote unquote cool meter was off from yours on this one. We'll try to align better on future content." So again, it was kind of like, sorry that you don't like what we like kind of thing, but also validating that a little bit. I thought he answered it fine. Kev, where do you weigh in on the controversy?
The controversy. Well, okay. So I think the biggest thing for me personally is, and we talked about this a little bit before the show, so I'm repeating myself to you guys, but in terms of the in-game effects, right? If you go through literally every skin in the game right now, there are very few skins that actually alter the appearance of something that happens in game. Like, the character might look different, but they're very careful to make sure that the wireframe is fairly consistent, the character outline is very consistent, and all the abilities look the same, right? It's not like when, you know, Winston throws down a barrier or Reinhardt puts up his shield, it's like it comes out and it's made of vines or something. Like, they've gone for a lot of visual consistency in ability usage. So even when your character has a skin, what you're doing and contributing in a team fight is still that the visual acuity is there. You know who you're up against because you see the same gun shape, you see the same projectiles, you see the same glow effects, right? Like, very little about the characters themselves changes. But the only thing I can think of off the top of my head would be something like Scarecrow Junkrat, where the tire looks slightly different, but that's telegraphed very visibly by its shape and size, and you also get the massive audio cues in game, right? So I think that this is actually a very brave departure for Blizzard, where everybody's like, oh, I wish the skin would have been better. It seems so like lackluster, and like they could have put more effort into it. I'm on the total other side of the fence. I look at it and go, I mean, yes, visually, it kind of just looks like they changed the color and slapped a Santa hat on her. But in reality, they gave her one of the first and only like routinely used abilities in the game with a totally different visual. That's crazy. That's a massive thing for me, because, yes, it's pretty obvious that it's still an ice block. It's an ice block with a bit of a snowman on it. But even then, you'll notice they didn't make her look like a snowman all the way top to bottom. It's still like 70% ice block, 30% snowman, right? To try and maintain that visual ability acuity.
All I was going to say is Merbzing also did add the Wolf Hanzo alt as well, is one that changes.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect the gameplay. And it's one of those things that, you know, again, it's in expansions. Scarecrow one is the only one, because Wolf Hanzo alt is a vanilla legendary skin, right? So you know, there's that aspect of it. So here's the thing. Number one, I will say it, if May doesn't qualify as a legendary skin, either does Tracer. I'm just gonna be honest, if they don't, because I don't know what Tracer has that's so much more amazing than the May one, if you take away the special ability stuff. I'm going to be honest there. But I do think they both warrant to be legendary skins. They're drastically different than the ones that they have in the past. Something else in this thread that the person brought up is that May's not going to get another skin for a long time, and this is going to be the last one that she's going to have for a while. Just like, that's also not true. Pay attention. The beginning of 2017, we've got some cool stuff for May coming out. So, like, there was just no ground on this one. If you want ground on a skin to complain about, you should complain about Zarya's epic skin that she got this holiday. because
be upset about the characters who didn't get skins. If you're gonna be, if you're like, and I'm not saying complain, because I don't think there's anything to complain about. I think they're doing a good job of rotating characters between events, but like, there was no, what characters didn't get, didn't get anything this go around. There's no Ana, there's no Bastion, no D.Va, no Genji, no Hanzo, no Winter Hanzo. Like there's a lot of characters who didn't get anything at all, right? Yeah. No Soldier, which I mean, like a
Soldier's
like
got a lot of love though.
But like that would have been a super obvious one for me.
Wanted Christmas sweater 76. So right? Bad.
And they totally gave the Christmas sweater thing to McCree as a spray. As instead. A spray. So
I think everyone got two sprays, right? They got an ornament one. And they got a second
winter character.
Yeah,
thing.
Winter character. Yeah. There's a bunch of different ones there. So that I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I don't know. I love this stuff. I eat this stuff up. More skins is better. I just can't believe if people are gonna already start nitpicking now on drastic changes like we see with May this year, what it'll look like in 3 years from now when we're on the third or fourth holiday, Winter Wonderland, and you know what those skins need to look like then, because eventually they're going to run out or they're going to have to do like colorized versions, and that could be really weird. So relax, guys. It's just game. Why you have to be mad? It's just game.
Oh, don't do that. Don't
it's
do
just
that.
Game. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. That's enough of that, I think. May Snowball Offensive. So we do have a new game mode, new brawl going on, presumably through the rest of the event. It's called May Snowball Offensive. How it works is her blaster has been customized to shoot snowballs. You can only hold one snowball at a time. All your other abilities still work, but you can only hold one snowball at a time, and there's little snow drifts throughout the map on Eco Point Antarctica to refill, and you're just jumping around shooting snowballs. It's a one shot, one kill Slayer deathmatch 6v6. So I've had a lot of fun with this one. My brother and I probably played 10, 15 games with this one, and yeah, I think it's great. I love these little new game types. Whether it's PvP, PvE, I think they're all pretty neat.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. I mean, it really gives you, it really rewards you for learning the trajectory of the snowball, because it does drop off like a snowball would. And also the really kind of fun strategy, I think, with it is building up your heroic, and you use your heroic and you have unlimited snowballs for I don't know how long, but it makes the game really fun. In between rounds, you actually carry over your heroic meter. Why can't I think of the right term?
Your ult charge?
Ultimate charge meter. There we go. And so it allows you to kind of stack it a little bit. And the best of five. So you get a pretty good amount of play out of it, and I've been enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. We'll see. I still think the Halloween one was better, but it was totally different, but it was a lot of fun. So
yeah,
we'll see. I like it. Sure. I think I like this better than Lucio Ball, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. I didn't get into, looks like my OBS froze. We've been having issues with that for quite a bit. That's all right though. We're still recording fine. Kev, did you have any thoughts on this? I know you really didn't get to jump in.
I mean, I've seen some very cool highlight clips, and it looks like people are having a lot of fun with it. I will say that I really liked the PvE idea of Junkenstein's Revenge and how they handled that for the Halloween event. So that to me was a more interesting deviation, I guess, from the traditional game in terms of brawl content. On the whole, the May stuff is fun, and I think people are really enjoying it. And it's not like it's for very long. I mean, it's only going to be in game for another 2.5 weeks. So yeah, no major loss. But no, I definitely preferred the Halloween one out of the two. And I think it's probably for me kind of about the same as Lucio Ball. Lucio Ball was novel to me because I hadn't played any Rocket League, so I enjoyed it for that. But I think this one's probably a solid second behind the Halloween one for now.
Cool. I would agree. I'm just going to forget the stream. Whatever. Sorry, guys. Rip. Bye. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So, next up, Jimmy, Doomfist visited, Terry Crews visited Blizzard Campus this week. What's going on with that?
Yeah. For a little background on this, why does Terry Crews and Overwatch and Blizzard matter? Well, there was an Overwatch thread a little while back, and someone was expressing interest in Terry Crews voicing Doomfist, just because Terry Crews is all around an awesome actor, voice actor, and just a funny guy. And now speculation is running absolutely crazy now that he's shown up on Blizzard Campus and multiple pictures of Blizzard employees with Terry Crews are on Twitter as proof of that. But I mean, really, what does this mean? Is this just him visiting Blizzard because he can, because he's Terry Crews, or are they actually working on some getting him into Overwatch in some capacity?
Kev?
Could go either way on this one personally. I mean, I know a lot of people really like the idea of him voicing the character. They think they'd be kind of cool. I see where, you know, from Blizzard's perspective, there's maybe value in that, kind of the same way that they've had other people that were heavily affiliated with the Blizzard community do some VO work, like Michelle Morrow doing Illyria for Hearthstone. It's not like there's not precedent for this. But on the other hand, I kind of look at it and think Blizzard also just has people come do campus tours. And if they happen to be celebrities or interesting people, people on Blizzard Campus will ask for selfies or take pictures or stuff. Like, this is not the first time this has ever happened. And if this were some member of a band, or if it was some other like famous sports professional or something, no one would be like, oh,
no. If it was a band, people would be like, oh, it's the BlizzCon closing band, guys.
No, I'm talking about like no one would see like an NFL quarterback doing a Blizzard tour and be like, oh my goodness, you guys, that person's going to play in the Overwatch League. Like, it just, the jump is only there because Terry Crews said, I would totally voice Doomfist at one point. And that's, so people are just dragging that to a crazy illogical conclusion. If that's what ends up happening, awesome. I don't expect that. I don't see any rational reason to expect that. But it definitely, seeing the photos, like, it was cool. It looks like people had a lot of fun having him on campus. And I think it's neat because it's nice, I think, for a lot of people to see their icons from other genres and places and things geek out about video games the same way they do. So in that respect, yeah, I totally dig it.
To be fair, the one thing I would say is a little bit, the reason why it's not just another celebrity to me is, how often does a celebrity go, I would love to voice a character name, and within a month they're over at Blizzard HQ taking pictures? You know, if it was 6 months ago, 8 months ago, a year ago, sure. Now, again, like, I'm not disagreeing with anything that was said. I'm just saying, if we want to get our tinfoil hats on a little bit, the timing is very interesting for him to express interest and then be on Blizzard Campus. But I think that's about as far as that goes.
Speaking of timing, though, I mean, if they're just now getting a voice actor for Doomfist, that means that Hero is probably at least 6 to 8 months away, because VO is one of the earlier things that they do in the character's life cycle, from what I understand of the process. So it'll be interesting. It's fun to speculate, though, and definitely the timing is a little peculiar.
Yeah. Yep, I'm all about it. I hope he does. Let's get into some real beefy esports news this week. We've got lots to talk about.
Faster than sight. So predictable.
All right.
Who are you calling beefy?
Who are you calling beefy? We've got a pretty packed esports section this week. There's lots going on in Overwatch esports. So let's jump right in. We have MLG Vegas and IEM happening this weekend, starting tomorrow. So if you aren't watching this live, it's today, more than likely, the 16th through the 18th. Let's talk about MLG Vegas first. These are the biggest names in the North America scene. So we've got Fnatic versus Rise Nation, Complexity versus Envious in Group A, and then FaZe Clan versus Team Liquid, and NRG versus Cloud9 in Group B. So let's jive a little bit. So let's talk a little bit about Group A first. Obviously, the big name that is going to jump out at everyone is Envious. After winning Overwatch Apex Season 1, they are bringing Mickey with them to MLG Vegas. He is from Thailand, I believe. Thailand. And he hopped on last minute, and that's what caused Rogue to try to take them out in the first round of the playoffs. Did not go so well, and they jive so well that they're like, hey, let's bring him with. So he will be there with us, with Envious, this weekend. So let's talk about that matchup. Complexity versus Envious. What are you guys thinking about this matchup? Kev, you have any thoughts?
I mean, it's tough, right? Like, I really like these matches are all so close right now because all these teams have had so much practice time because they're all so worried about the league next year, right? Like, how do you choose who's better or worse other than just saying, you know, like you said, like Envious just had a big win. That's a factor and something you can look at. But I don't even know how you're supposed to choose between these teams right now. Honestly, I have no idea.
It's tough, but I feel like Envious has to be coming into this holding their head up high after winning Apex, and I think they're the favorite in this tournament. Maybe not by a huge margin, but definitely the favorite. They knocked off a Korean team to win the tournament, and they looked really solid, and Mickey just kind of plugged into the team as if he'd been playing with them for months almost, it felt like. So I feel like they're in a good spot. What do you think, John?
I mean, Complexity has shown some promise, you know, here and there. They've been able to knock off some big teams as time has progressed, but they've been really inconsistent, like dangerously inconsistent. And I believe that last we saw them play, at least in a LAN, was, I believe, DreamHack Winter,
and I believe they lost to
Misfits, right? So they haven't really done well recently. We haven't heard much from them. So I think this just has to be kind of an easy, like, Envious pick for now. But again, too, like, how many of these guys on the Complexity roster have a stream or doing anything outside of the occasional LAN that we aren't seeing at months at a time to really gauge how great they are on an individual level or on a team level? I mean, obviously they're going to be practicing together, and hopefully they're practicing together a lot. But I just think that Envious has been in virtually every LAN and tournament that I can remember featuring these teams, and they've kind of proven themselves over and over again that they're hanging. So I'm kind of a fan here of Envious taking this one.
Yeah, I mean, Envious, like, obviously there's been some roster changes as they've let go of all of their various American rosters and players, but like, you have to look at their results, right? Like you said. They have won everything they've touched realistically, with the exception of coming in second in the Overwatch Open, losing to Misfits, right? And they didn't win the Atlantic Showdown. They came in, they lost in the semifinals to Rogue, who went on to win, did they not, in that tournament? I think.
That sounds right.
I think it was Rogue. Yeah, it wasn't Misfits, was it?
Yeah, Rogue. Yeah, that was the one where Rogue beat Reunited. Yeah. So, like, if they don't win, they get eliminated by the winner. It seems to be kind of their cachet. And at that point, like, it's hard because you don't know 100%, but especially when you're looking at strictly Western teams, they have to be the favorite going in on that basis alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Totally. Okay, let's talk about this other one here so that we can keep moving. So Fnatic versus Rise Nation. I think this one is a little bit more interesting. Fnatic, we haven't seen, I don't believe, very recently, Rise Nation as well. I believe that there was supposed to be at the, there was that MSI thing last week that ended up getting just scrapped completely, right? Have you guys heard what's happened?
No, I did not hear about that.
I believe it. I know it hasn't played. I'm not sure if it's just totally scrapped, but I know that they missed the whole first day. Like they brought,
it's on like indefinite tech hiatus. Issues, I don't know if they've actually announced it being canceled.
Yeah,
but
they brought like laptops to the event, and players are only getting like 90 frames per second. And they're like, we can't play on this. And so they're like, okay. They tried to get new computers in, and they had internet issues, and it was a cluster. So who do you guys like in this matchup between FaZe and or not FaZe, Fnatic and Rise going into the other half of Group A?
Has to be Fnatic.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, even after the roster shuffle, right, when their original roster went to Reunited, Fnatic still like the bigger, more established organization. They've got lots of experience in other shooters, so they've got coaches and people on staff to help them train, and their results have been really good all year, right? Second place at DreamHack, like playing against top teams all the way along. The teams they've lost to have always been like your Reunited's, Envious's, Misfits, C9's. Like they're not an underdog here by any stretch. I think they get through that match very easily.
Yep.
I would have to agree. I think Fnatic has more knowns about it, and Rise just has more question marks about how exactly they've been playing lately and where exactly they fit in the grand scheme of North American Overwatch. So I'd have to agree with Fnatic most likely getting through this relatively easily.
Yep. And they have Hafakul, right? Who's their kind of trial, who's playing their D.Va, and I guess he's been sitting in really freaking well so far. So I think that right now, a lot of the times when I'm looking at which teams are going to be the best or whatever, the first thing I look at it is who has a good D.Va, because that seems to be the teams that are winning more often are teams that have really solid D.Va players who can play D.Vas at a high level consistently. Also, Jimmy, you brought up a good point. Let's take a break from Group A, because we called that out, and let's talk about map selection here. So in the past, when we've been looking at lands, most of them have had some sort of pick band structure for how they got the maps for each round. However, that is not in line with Blizzard sanction rules. Is that correct, Jimmy?
That is correct. From what was reported, I know most notably Slasher was talking a lot about this, making a lot of noise on Twitter about it. But basically, Blizzard's like, no more picks and bans for maps. You have to have a set map pool for each round. And we can see this in Group A. It's for this first set of games, Kings Row, Nepal, Dorado. And then in Group B, Hollywood, Ilios, Numbani. And this makes things interesting because you know what maps you're going to be playing on and can practice those exclusively. But, I mean, this changes how teams are going to practice for tournaments going forward. If this is going to be the thing from down on high from Blizzard, it's gonna be like, this is the way it's gonna be. It's just very interesting and very different from what we've been used to, I think, just in esports in general. I think even StarCraft has map bans and stuff like that, and even if you don't bring it into the broadcast as being part of like, oh, you see the teams doing map bans and map picks, which I think is silly to really do that as part of the production, but just not having the team selecting what map they're playing on is odd to me. Makes it hard to specialize on a specific map.
Kevin, is there a world where this is a good thing or a positive thing for the scene overall, or is this pretty much like what if this, first of all, if it isn't a good thing, why would the company make that the way it's done? And if it is a good thing, why is everyone freaking out about it?
Okay, so let's back up and let's work from the assumption that Blizzard started out with this as part of their philosophy for how they wanted events to be run. Similar to how they designed formats for things like Hearthstone. They looked at it and said, we don't want the teams to identify the three most competitive maps where the win rates are the most even or it's most balanced between attack defense based on their play and have every tournament only show the same three or four maps, right? That's likely where the thought process went. And so when they wrote their esports rules for 2016, because as soon as the game came out, right, they would have published their guidelines for if you're going to run a Blizzard sanctioned event with a prize pool above X dollars, you must conform to these rules or Blizzard won't allow you to advertise it, you know, won't fund it, won't provide you with the licenses and stuff. Anyway, that's a process that they would have gone through. And when the game came out, you'll also recall, or when they were working through those kinds of logistics, we were also still debating the validity of one hero limit and a bunch of other things that had to be, you know, addressed over the life cycle of the game up to this point. So I think they came from a good place. I think there was a noble intention here of ensuring that there was a good variety for the viewer, right? This was something that Blizzard's esports team looked at and said, we want this to feel good for a spectator who doesn't want to watch, you know, if the most balanced map in the game was Watchpoint Gibraltar, we don't want every game to be played out on Watchpoint Gibraltar or the, you know, first map of every match to be Watchpoint Gibraltar. And if you let the teams decide, they're always going to winnow down to the same maps. They're going to pick the same maps that they have practiced and trained on. And that actually lowers the quality of the game as an esport because you no longer have to learn new maps. You no longer have to practice different strategies or different game styles. Like you can just say, let's veto all the control maps and only worry about playing hybrid maps. That's our strategy going in. And if we can get the right picks and bans, then we win by playing the map and game types that we're the best at. So there is absolutely a value to it. The problem becomes a big part of where you see players innovate and get creative and play better is when they can actually do something like perfect a strategy that no one has seen on stream before on a specific map and bring it to bear in a tournament. And if you're going into the best of seven grand final in the, you know, $100,000 tournament you're playing in and the map that you've got this crazy strategy for just isn't in the pool, now what? Like that's a real frustrating thing to a player or a coach. The team as they're practicing is looking at this saying, we're not able to do what we want to do here. So there's push and pull, right? There's tension between those things. I think that in the long run, the reason that these rules have stayed the way they have is because Blizzard didn't have time to change stuff for 2016. Their focus is already on 17. So I think they're looking at next year and saying, do we go to each team can veto a handful of maps? Maybe it's one map per game type. Do we allow them to draft map order out of an available pool of maps? Is there a rotating pool of maps? Because that was something StarCraft used to do. The map pool changed 3-4 times a year, and then you vetoed from within the set of seven maps that were being played for that 2-month window or whatever. There's lots of ways to solve making sure that we don't see the same maps forever, because any player who's going to play this game at a high level, bottom line, needs to be able to play every map. So I don't think anybody can fall back on the idea that Blizzard needs to do this or players will never play on Anubis. If Blizzard wants them to play on Anubis, that will happen at some point. Like it will become an issue. So I just think they need to revisit this and find some way to introduce something, some kind of ban veto system, some kind of draft system. The rotating map pool thing makes a lot of sense to me. Like have it be so that at, you know, a given tournament that this is the map pool and it's these seven maps. And then the players can pick what order they want to play them in back and forth between the two teams based on a coin flip. Yes, it means that you're going to narrow down how many maps are played in the tournament, but they're doing that already. So
it's like, naturally happening. Is the thing.
Like there's not enough games being played to play on every map if you want the teams who are playing in a given portion of a tournament to play on the same maps. And that's the other thing, right? Is that Blizzard clearly wants, you know, in Group A at MLG Vegas. They don't want Fnatic versus Ryze played on one set of maps and Complexity versus Envious played on a different set of maps, because they believe that creates inconsistency or unfair advantage or whatever. And I don't think that's the case. I think the teams, like, if it's in the hands of the teams, then it's up to them and there's no unfair advantage because they got a say, right? They got a chance to have a say and say, no, we don't want to play on that map, or no, let's try and play on that map first. Like, it was up to the players, so no one can say there was bias or unfairness in the process. Whereas right now, it's kind of the other way, where no one can say there's unfairness because Blizzard has said you have to play on these three maps, so the players are obviously practicing those three maps. It's not a better or worse thing, and I think some of the public response to it has just ignored the variables or would rather put more of the game back in the hands of the players, which I understand. I think Blizzard has to think about the spectator experience, and that's something that only they worry about. I, as a player who's trying to win $100,000, am not worried about, will fans think it's more interesting if I play on 10 of the 12 maps in the pool over the course of the tournament or not. Like, that's not on your mind as a player at all. Sorry, it's just not. So there's a balancing to be struck there between those different desires. I think right now it errs in favor of Blizzard and the spectator experience rather than the players. That's not necessarily a bad thing. I do not think that what they're doing for IAM Chongji and MLG Vegas is going to be the long-term strategy. I 100% think that this is something that's being discussed and they're looking at a new rule set for Overwatch League in 2017.
Cool. Very thorough, Kev. Very thorough.
Sorry. I appreciate it. You got me started and I
gave you a long, meaty question. You're welcome. Whoop.
I looked at the clock. It was like, how long have I been talking for? I need to stop.
Yeah, you do. All right. Let's talk about Group B and move on. I'm just kidding. So FaZe Clan versus Team Liquid here we have for the first pick. And man, this one is, I think, going to be one of the closer matches in the first round here. Obviously, Team Liquid is a big name in esports, so you expect them to have just a huge roster, and they really do. They've got some really great players on their team. FaZe Clan, of course, Shadowburn being one of the biggest names on that team. I believe he's been switched over to Zarya and is planning on bringing and playing Zarya D.Va? Is Zarya or D.Va? I have to remember. D.Va, sorry. It is D.Va. So that's kind of weird for them. We're seeing a lot of movement with FaZe Clan. So who do you guys take here? FaZe Clan, Team Liquid?
I want to go with Team Liquid here. I feel like they've been a little more established and together for a little bit longer, and the team with Rafa and Dehang on it is usually the team I'm gonna like pony up to. But I mean, FaZe is not some like slouch. So like you were saying, this will probably be a very, very close match. But if you put a gun to my head, I'd say Liquid.
Okay. No guns to your head, I promise. Kev, what do you think?
I'm going to go with FaZe.
Okay.
I mean, again, I think these teams are very close. Like you said, it's very difficult to call. And between the two, if you look at their results in, you know, the monthlies and the qualifiers and stuff, on paper, FaZe is a better team. They've won more tournaments. They've made more money. They've put up better results overall. They may not have the same history to them because they haven't been at it as long, or the same depth to their roster because they've not had maybe the same number of people to choose from. But I honestly think they're the better team statistically.
Okay. Kevin, I actually have to side with you, but barely. But I do say if there's going to be an upset in these initial games, this is going to be the one where I think that Team Liquid very well could come back and kind of surprise us all. No one is expecting Team Liquid to go very deep into this tournament, but they did just do pretty well at the end of the NGE Winter Premiere. So they're on a little bit of an upswing. They've got a little something to go on and grab onto. So that's A-OK. All right, last one. We've got, where is it? There it is. Energy versus Cloud Nine. What are you guys weighing in here? Kevin, I'll let you weigh in first.
C9.
All right. Fair.
I'm a big Energy fanboy, so I'm with it.
Fight Energy. Fight.
Man, so here's the thing. I'm an Energy fanboy as well. So
maybe we'll get another awkward hand exchange from Seagull.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, Seagull, don't get me wrong, I love Seagull and some of the other guys on Energy, like him and Milo and some of those guys are just like cool and fun to watch and stuff, but C9 is the better team here. Like that's really all there is to it. In a team game, I think they've got the better team, maybe not the better individual players, but the better team.
Yeah,
I feel like Energy's had a little bit more experience, having gone over to Korea recently and played in Apex.
I don't think we've seen C9 at a major offline event yet. I don't think that we have.
They played the Overwatch Open. That counts.
That's true.
Oh yeah, they
lost to Envious. Right.
So Overwatch Open, I think that's the only one they've been on, and. Besides that, man, it's tough. Like I love C9. I love NRG. I'm actually going to pick NRG. I think it's finally time. They've got their new coach, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong because I don't know if it's Oplaid or Oplaid, but they've got their coach now. And I think that that's going to help them a lot to focus on playing the game more. And I think, I'm hoping that we see a new NRG, a serious contender to be an awesome team. They got rid of Gods. Gods is no longer on the roster, which is kind of a big move. I'm a huge fan of Gods. He was like one of my favorite players when we were doing the Overwatch World Cup. He was like one of the people I was most excited to see. But they've seen some changes. They've got some changes coming in, and I think they're going to be positive ones. So I'm going to take NRG here. And then last but not least, who are we picking to take this whole thing? Who are we picking to take this whole thing? Dear Kev, who do you think?
I mean, okay. So the split worked out, I think, fairly well. These groups are well seeded. So group A, you've got to think Envious and Fnatic, probably the favorites to advance. Group B, I would actually say C9 and NRG both get out. I think that's the outcome there. So who wins first determines who gets the better seed, and that's about it. But when the dust settles with a flipped folding bracket in the playoffs, that means that, you know, Envious, in my mind, Envious plays NRG, which I think they win hands down. And that means Fnatic plays C9, where I think Fnatic wins, and you get the Envy Fnatic reprise final again, and I think Envy takes it. I think Team Envious is really in Western Overwatch, in North American Overwatch, they're crazy dominant right now, and I don't see that changing at this tournament.
Okay, fair enough. Who are you picking, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm going to agree. Envious is just, I feel like, at the top of their game right now, and they have the best shot, I think, of winning this tournament. As long as they get out of the group in first, I think they're in a really good place. So yeah, Envious, they're looking really strong right now.
Dang it. Well, I think we're going to go 3-for-3 here because I think Envious as well is just kind of the logical choice.
I'm so glad I talked first.
Oh, right. Great. Oof. We won't even debate or argue, and I won't justify. Let's take a look at IEM here. So Rogue and Freak of Freaks Blue do have a first round bye, so they won't be playing in that first round. So you have Misfits versus Lunatic High, Luxury Watch Red versus Kongdu Panthera. We're not going to take through the winners of each team for sake of time. I do want to know who your favorite is to win IEM. Going into this, who do you think, Kev? Who's your pick?
Man, so I mean, this is a totally different tournament with a totally different set of people, right? That's a real crazy.
We're going east.
Yeah, it's a real crazy lineup. So I am Changji. I mean, for what it's worth, the fact that Afrika Freaks and Rogue get the direct seed to the semifinals, I think has to weigh into your calculation here, because there's going to be a team that's eliminated in both brackets before either of them have to play. So I think it's probably going to be Afrika Freaks. Like, it's hard to bet against Korea. I think you probably see Misfits get out of the quarterfinals. I think you probably see Kongdu get out of the quarterfinals. I actually think Rogue could make it to the final and play against Afrika Freaks, but Afrika Freaks, I can't imagine a world where they don't win in Jeonggi. Like, I just can't.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. Just looking at the rosters and just how the tournament is laid out, there's something to be said, especially with the maps being hard set for each round. They only have to play or learn technically at most 10 maps. There's a lot of a holdover from the semifinals to the finals, so it's less than that, obviously. But Afrika looks really strong right now. I am a little bit worried about both Misfits and Rogue having just changed their rosters recently. We'll have to see if they're able to adjust to that. But
Afrika Freaks, yeah, Blue Afrika just signed good. Two new players though as well. I believe just today or yesterday they replaced Jin and Yesmin for Mono and Amy, so they have two new players as well. Mono is an off tank, Amy is flex support, so they've got some changes as well. I'm gonna go on the flip side. I think Rogue is actually best seated to take it. They're just so strong. They Afrika Freaks Blue got 4-0'd at Apex. So I definitely don't think Afrika Freaks Blue takes the top of that bracket, because they really didn't do very well overall at the Apex season one. They had an easier side of the bracket and they won 3-2, I believe, and then 3-1, and then they got 4-0'd. So their games that they won were at least relatively close, and the ones that they lost big. And Rogue is, man, they're just pretty consistently good. They kept a lot of their players in that three-person trade. I believe they only lost two or traded out two, right? So I'm going to go ahead and say, I think Rogue's going to take it, man.
I mean, for what it's worth, I would say, like, if you ask me to name the top five teams in Overwatch in the world right now, Rogue is on that list. No questions asked, Rogue is on that list. So the level of play in the Jeonggi finals is probably going to be slightly higher than the MLG Vegas one, just because I really do think that getting the cross-regional play over there is going to be more interesting than the lineup in Vegas, right? I'm excited to see Vegas. I'm excited to watch the games. I'm rooting for Envy. I think they've got a real great shot to take the whole thing. But like, and Envy honestly would be on that list too of top five teams. But Rogue and Afrika Freaks both easily make the top five, probably both make the top three right now, frankly. So that's going to be a super high level matchup if that ends up being the final.
Interesting. Fair enough. Well, we'll have to see if we're right next week. But
time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
So we do need to get out of here. Before we do, sorry, just wanted to do a quick shout out to Paul, aka Terminator UK. They played at the Insomnia I-59 Overwatch Open in Birmingham this week. Sent us an email about their work through the brackets and just thanked us for our show. Said that they're big fans and we help them stay up to date on Overwatch when they are doing their full-time jobs and being parents and brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. So big shout out to you, Paul. Congratulations on a strong finish. Good luck to you in the future. Thanks for listening to the show. They placed fifth, so one place out of actually winning some money, but they were still pretty excited and it was really cool to get that email. So big thank you, Paul. All right. Slow down, chat. Slow down. We need to. I need my happy Christmas music here. I'm not ready for this one. Oh, God. Okay. Kev, all right, we can't do that either. Kevin, we've got some news, don't we?
We have some news, yeah. This is going to be a tough one for me, but I unfortunately have to announce today that next week, episode 50, made it to 50 shows that we've been doing over a year of The Payload across 50 episodes. Next week, episode 50, will be my last show. I will be leaving The Payload after next week's episode. So it's been an incredible journey, and I'm so proud of what we built and what we've done. And I know that people are going to still love the show. They're still going to tune in. You guys are going to do great work, but I'm going to miss you guys. I think we built something really special here, and it's been a lot of fun, something I've looked forward to every week, and I'm sad to be leaving.
And just for all the speculation, this is for all the good and right reasons. It wasn't like John and Kevin argued too much and now they can't do
shit. They're kicking me off, guys.
Yeah, it's not anything like that. When we have the permission to share all the details, we'll make sure to get you everything, but this is a very good move. Kevin, this feels like a warm up for Well Met a little bit, because we've been doing Well Met for, you know, almost 100 episodes
forever.
At this point, I think it's going to be 89 or 90 next week.
And 89 this weekend, 90 next week. Yeah.
So we're going to miss you. It's going to be
calculated.
It's going to be different. A different show without you. And, you know, I'm thinking about when we first started doing the podcasting piece, right? And like I submitted a
5-minute demo reel.
5-minute demo reel in which JR told me it was nothing like what he wanted for it. He's like, ooh, I was hoping this was gonna be more of this. I was like, well, crap. And then I know at that time, too, you're doing some writing and, you know, just kind of getting your wheels churning in the industry. And now here we are on episode almost 50 and almost episode 90. It's pretty incredible. It's been a pleasure, sir. And we got to make sure to send you off right next week. So we're going to do next week after the show, we're going to play some snowball, Maze Snowball Extravaganza, or whatever she calls it. Maze Snowball Offensive. There it is. So if you want to play some games with us after Kevin's last show, come on down next Thursday. The show records 7 p.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/BlizzPro, and we'll play some games after. Sad face, sad. All right. Any last words, Jimmy, for Kev that you want to say? Make him cry?
No.
We're going to do that next week. Come on.
Yeah,
come
we'll
on
do
now.
It next week. Yeah. I'll think of something good. We'll get the waterworks going. But we will miss you, Kevin.
Thanks,
it's been
buddy.
A pleasure working with you on the show. And yeah, I think we have made something really, really fun here. And I really enjoy coming on every week and talking about Overwatch and bringing the Overwatch news to the community. So we'll miss you.
Yeah. But really excited for you too, man. So really excited, really jealous. Anyways, let's get out of here. Before we do, what do we got going on with Patreon, Jimmy?
Well, first of all, we have to always thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Coral, and Tommy H. Thank you guys for being such great partners for the show. We really appreciate your support. It helps us out so much in putting the show together every week. For those of you who are not a patron yet, if you like the show and want to show your support, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast and find out what it's all about. And you can see all the reward tiers there. We're getting close to the $200 merch store. We continue talking about this, but once we hit that tier, we'll put up some shirts for people to buy and support the logo.
Yes, we will. I'm double checking. I want to make sure that we didn't get anyone this week, but we might have, and I might be just really, really bad at this.
I'm just reading the
1209. We do. I'm so sorry. Totally Drunk. I knew it. I remembered the name and I knew it immediately. I'm like, I have to double check. Totally Drunk, welcome to the Patreon fam. We love having you here. And thank you so much for your support. Whew. Okay, we got that. And then, yeah, we got everything else. I didn't forget about you. He's in the chat, too. That's the worst. I can't even edit that out later. But, hey, welcome and thank you. Looking at iTunes reviews, Kev, what do we have going on in iTunes land?
Well, iTunes land is actually an interesting land because those reviews come from all kinds of lands. So this week we are thrilled to have a 5-star review from Australia. So big shout out to Belvedere OW. Assume that stands for Overwatch. Thank you so much for your 5-star review. As always, guys, 5-star reviews, massively important for both podcasts, for all the BlizzPro podcasts, because they really help us become more relevant, easier to find. When people go looking for Overwatch or Blizzard-related content, the better reviewed we are, the more we show up. So if you can't support the show financially, or even if you can, frankly, head on over to iTunes, jump in there, leave us a 5-star review, and we would be more than happy to thank you right here on the show for doing that.
Yes, we would. Write something nice for Kevin's last show next week. Let's see how many we can get. Write all your notes to Kevin in your 5-star reviews. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Send in your emails to the payload at blizzpro.com and we'll make sure he gets those as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here then. Shout outs for the week. Anything big, anything quick for either of you guys?
Just HGC qualifiers finished, so I can kind of relax from Heroes stuff for a bit and play some more Overwatch over the weekend. It's been a lot of fun doing the casting for that, but I'm wanting to get into Season 3 here and really climb that ladder and hopefully not get too discouraged by losses like last season.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you. Cool. What about you, Kev? Anything for you?
I mean, I guess I do want to say a special shout out to Lenovo Gaming now that we got that out there in the open, because BlizzPro as a whole is sponsored by them in partnership with Intel. That's a super cool thing, and I'm really glad that that finally is finally on the table, because that one we've been doing a lot of behind the scenes work to make that happen for the last few months. So big thanks to them and all the guys over there. And yeah, obviously next week, my last episode. So I mean, and if it's in your time or capacity to do so and you want to come hang out live, I would really appreciate it. I would love to have people come and chat and stick around to play some games afterwards. That would be awesome.
We'll do 6-on-1 games against Kevin is what we'll do. We'll just get to shoot him for a couple hours.
Just murder me for an hour.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. As for me, streaming at twitch.tv/kicktripod, I streamed Super Mario Run today. I streamed through the first go-through, so I actually went through every single level in about 2 hours. So that was a lot of fun, and yep, so doing a lot of streaming there. But let's go ahead and get out of here. You can find more Overwatch stuff throughout the week at overwatch.blizzpro.com. Again, a special thanks to Lenovo Gaming for partnering with us for the show. So thank you so much. Make sure to find them online, basically at everything Lenovo Gaming and lenovogaming.com. Big thank you to Jake Butteno at jakebutteno.ca for music. And follow us on Twitter at Payload Podcast. Find us on Facebook at Payload Podcast. Find us on Patreon at Payload Podcast. Find us on email, thepayload@blizzpro.com. Curveball. We love your iTunes reviews. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher Podcast, Edit, Google Podcasts. This has been episode number 49. We'll see you next week.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter at DJ Tyrant, Kevin on Twitter at Lack of Realism, and John on Twitter at Kicked Tripod.